wife today. I said, I don't know what to share. You know, it's, believe it or not, I prepare. So, not that it's not, it's very choshev to give to you three ladies. It's a,
no, we need
but it, it's. So then I said to my wife, you know, it could be it's not such a good shiur.
A wonderful shiur.
No, it's okay. I don't need the, I don't need the praise. I said, you know, sometimes a person gives a shiur, he doesn't realize. Either it's a little boring. Bitochen, I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thing to have a shiur on, and I feel bad if I'm not giving a good shiur. But bitochen, the problem is, you'll hear things, everybody, not you. You say, yeah, we know that. We know that already. We're not saying anything new. Like, yeah, we know. But you can't develop bitochon unless it's pounded in. And really, again, the Chavis Holbovus is a workshop. Really, the way to do Chavis Holbovus properly, he's so mesudar. He's so analytical in breaking up things, and he makes lists and into parts that really someone should take the Chavis Holbovus and make a bitochon workshop out of it. You know how you do workshops? Like you have what's called play acting. Like you have play. Like you play and you say, okay, what is your reaction to this?
Role playing.
Yeah. It's so mesudar. Mm-hmm. Like you build up bitochon as you go through the prokim, and there's seven of this. And five of this, and four of this. It's like tailor-made, because you have one, two, three, A, B, C. It's really, but, we know that already.
If I can just interject. Personally, I would say it's definitely been life-altering. I'm saying it because that's really been, I feel like it's something that you chip away at every week, and
Everything, you know, I started off giving a Hilcha Shmita in the shul, so the first week was 40 people, second week was 30 people, now we're down to 3 people. So again, I tell my, it can't be that bad a shiur.
I listen to it. It's a good
show. The funny thing is, this week, women, I got messages from women if they could come. So I said yes, but then nobody showed up.
Because
I talked about flower pots this week, you know, plants and flowers. Because mm-hmm. That's the kitchen thing, you know, it's not no gea yet, peiro shvius. Maybe I'll start it this week. Mm-hmm. I don't know, most people, I don't think, have things with kedusha shvius. I don't know, they buy badats. If they're going
to
buy Otsa Haaretz,
right, so
a lot of things. The beginning, I think the beginning, they're not sure yet. The Israeli culture is so nerve-wracking to an American. We hooked up with this Otsa Haaretz. So, okay, let's go start. We want to start traveling to the farms and talking to the farmers and seeing how it's set up. They say, well, we didn't really sign contracts with anybody yet. So I say, isn't it Shemitah like this coming year? He goes, yeah, like there's 3 weeks left still. Like, what's your rush? It's so Israeli.
You see this, it's like,
it is. It's like, well, it's culture shock. And he's wondering about me, like, why I'm so anxious. And the truth is, there's a lot of tacharut now. There's a lot of competition between the Rabbanut, who's trying to sign up farmers to be under the Heter Mechira, and these people who are really Heter Mechira people, I'll call it ideologically. They don't negate Heter Mechira. They just are setting this up without Heter Mechira. And there's really, they're competing. They're competing for, like, a guy has, you know, 200 dunams of tomatoes or potatoes or whatever. There's really a competition going on. There really is. I'm in Yanim now because they let me be. They let me in because that's what we said. And they said we have no problem. Come look at all. Look at everything we're doing. There's really tacharut going on. The Badats is not involved because they're not talking to Jews. The Badats are only talking to Goyim. You know, they don't want anything to do with Jews. So, but there's a tacharut, and the Otz Haaretz people are being attacked from both sides. In other words, the Haredi, like newspapers, the weeklies, I stay on top of these things because I feel I have to know what's going on. That's my excuse. So they're being attacked that they're really had the Mechira people and they're no good and now I saw an Arut Sheva today, if you Arut Sheva, like they're being attacked by the Rabbanut people for taking away for being the Zalzel in the Hetta Mechira, which was instituted by Rav Kook. And if the Hetta Mechira falls away, then the market will be flooded. One of their points is that if the Hetta Mechira falls away, then the market will be flooded with real forbidden things. It will be a mamash osur. So the Haredi answer to that is, well, it's osur anyway, because the Hetta Mechira is a joke and it's nothing. One of their ideological points is that it's not nothing, and therefore, if 80% of the farmers in the country, 75% are chilonim, the market, I mean, you know, they feel, it's really an ideological thing, right? The Tilumi people feel responsible for the whole Medina, and the Haredim feel responsible only for the Haredim, and they don't feel. So the Otz Haaretz people, who are Kippas Ragah people, but have formed this, they're getting it from both sides now. Everybody, I was there, I saw it, and I read it in the weeklies, because I saw it Basheva, and in the Haredi weeklies, like everybody's attacking them, which usually means you're in a good position. Usually that means you're right. If some people leave Beis Tfila because it's too Haredi, and some people leave Beis Tfila because it's not Haredi enough, so I know we're doing good.
But it could fall apart though.
Yeah, that's why I said, like, how many? So who's fine? Well, nobody's really signed up yet. That's why it's so nerve wracking to me. But they know, you know. But I met the guy that's like such a stereotype, like a huge bushy mustache, like a kibbutznik type guy, a huge handlebar, like thick, big bushy mustache. And he's in charge of signing up farmers. And he's a tremendous Rei Shemayim. Like, he talks about Shemitah. Like, really, he talks about it with such passion. And you know, they're not ideologically against the Hetta Mechira, but he's going to sign them up, and he talks to them. The problem is that they can't offer the same price. They're offering only expenses, because that's the system of vegetables with Kedusha Shvius. That you pay the farmer his expenses, but you're not allowed to pay for the fruit. Mm-hmm. Hetta Mechira people, the Rabbanut, is offering them.
Why would a Chiloni sign up with them?
Right. So but they don't want Chilonim, the truth is. They don't want Chiloni. You see, if the Rabbanut came to them with an offer, they should take over the whole country. The truth is they can't, because they can't supply the whole country. They can't.
So,
first of all, a Chiloni farmer won't listen to their, what's the word, Hora'ot? Mm-hmm. Hanchayot, they call. I learned all these Hebrew words. They give very specific rules. I have a list of the rules when they sign a contract with the farmer, what the farmer's allowed to do, what he's not allowed to do, how much he's going to get paid, how much he's allowed to charge.
There's only a few religious farms.
No, but so they feel that's why plan. They did. No, they showed me the map. They showed me the map. But that's why they wanted menuyim. That's why they wanted people to sign up and give 600, you know, credit cards and this. They wanted to see how many serious buyers they have. They can supply their serious buyers till Sivan Tambos, they can supply their customers. Then they say very openly they're going to go over the Hetta Mechira. They're going to offer the consumer a choice. Either het to mechira or from chutz laretz. They'll import. And they feel
that's
they can...
What?
That's yeah, so they feel they can... They know they're going to have to... They've been saying it from day one. They've been saying it from day one. That starting Iyar Tammuz, the last part of the year, especially it's a 13-month year. Mm-hmm. You know, according to the Gemara, when they used to make two Adars based... When there was always a decision whether it's going to be two Adars. It wasn't like in the calendar. One of the rules is Shemitah could never be two Adars. That was one of the rules.
So serious. How does
it fall?
Because now it's calendar. Now it's a cycle. Now it's automatic. They, you know, they made a calendar for right. thousands of years. So you right, so it comes out, you know. But when they did it, Al Pi Beis Din, so even though it should have been two Adars, let's say this year should have been two Adars, because it's very early, they would push it off to next year. Or they would have made it last year. One of the rules in the Gemara is that Shemitah, their rules, and it's not a halacha, it's not allowed to be. It's one of their rules in deciding when there should be two Adars. One of the rules is Shemitah can't be two Adars. It's too hard for the farmers. It's an extra month. And it makes such a difference. You talk to guys that grow the grapes, like that extra month kills them because they have to prune. It's so important for them to prune. And they can't. It's really very hard for them. It's a big Mesiras Nefesh. It's a tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. So the El Tzahar, you know, they worked out. That's why they have a long list of rules of what the farmers can do and cannot do. So he said, why should a chiloni sign up with them? He gets less money. And he's not going to. But they don't want the chilonim, because they don't trust the chilonim. Because as many mashgichim as they have, they can't be there 24 hours. So they don't want chilonim. They say, I hear them talking. They allow me to come to their Beis Din meetings. They don't want chilonim. They don't want chilonim to buy their produce either. Because you're not allowed to really give over produce with Kedusha Shvius to someone that's not going to treat it with Kedusha Shvius. So if it happens, it happens. If someone walks into Dil Vizol and they're not from, so you know, they're not responsible. They, you know, but they're happy. They don't want to do it. They had offers to supply. They told me, the whole city of Tzfas wanted to sign up with them. The whole city, like they wouldn't do it. They picked three stores, like and, you know, that are frequented by from customers. And they'll give those stores. Those the Rabbonim of Tzfas wanted the whole city to automatically be under their thing. They don't know a lot of things. A lot of things we ask them, they say, you know, we'll see how it works. We'll see. You didn't make such a big investment. I don't know if you signed up even. You don't know what I'm talking about. You made a 50 shekel donation. Everything else is just, you know, a store credit.
I'm more concerned about what happens when kids go to Gan and they need their fruits and vegetables. So I have a feeling in my home I'm going to have, like, the chutz laretz stuff that I can send them to Gan with because I know they're going to throw it on the floor and trample it. And then my home, with Kedusha Shvius.
Well, what is your husband... the truth is it's not like that, but we'll wait till we learn Hilchos Shvius. But do you know if your husband... What is your house's minhag, I'll call it, even though it's not a minhag, it's a din. When you buy stuff that was grown on a field from a guy, do you treat it with Kedusha Shvius or not?
That's
because minhag Yerushalayim is not, and minhag Bnei Brak is yes.
I'm assuming we did minhag Yerushalayim.
So if you do minhag Yerushalayim, so you don't have to have chutz laretz, you go to the Aleph, who's going to sell Badat stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
They're not going to get some chutz, it's from Arabs.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but I'm going to have, like, my Badat stuff.
And
you'll
have your Tzahara stuff, right? The truth is, you're allowed to get... The din is you're allowed to give children. Yeah, there's no such thing.
Why?
You're allowed to, because you're allowed to, and children are children.
Even with the peels and
you're allowed to treat Shvius produce normal. That's the din. The din is to treat it normally. Not normal. In other words, now you'll eat half an apple, and you'll take the other half an apple, and you'll throw it in the garbage. But really, it's baltashas, right? But okay, you know, I don't feel like eating it, so you can't do that Shvius. But you can give it to a child. You know, you can treat it normal. It's a child. That's the normal usage.
That's the
normal usage. it's, you know, maybe if you see it, so you have to take it and put it in the special garbage can that you'll have. But it's not as heavy, you know. You talk to someone, we talked about Shuvah. You start telling him, Dinam of Tyrus Mishpacha. You know, he also thinks, are you crazy? How can you live like that? Crazy? You can't. Give me the car keys. Oh, no, you can't give him the car keys. How do you live like that? You know, so Shemitah is the same way, that's all.
When my husband was in yeshiva, he was in Gush. So it was either the year after Shemitah or Shemitah, they had grape juice, it spilled on the table. And he said everybody went berserk. They were like mopping it up with bread and then eating the bread.
Okay.
And then they were
that's
like,
true, you know, if it's in front of you, you have to
get off the table, you know.
You can't dip your Havdalah candle in it. Yeah.
Okay, so to me, that's, okay, so that's Shemitah, so
yeah.
You know.
That's it's very inspiring, you know, that the food, it really should be a very inspiring thing, that the food has such kedusha. It's really a Musar Haskel, and it's really an inspiring thing that the food has such kedusha, and you think this is our, you know, you could eat karbonos meat, and we can't do that, and you could eat Maaser Sheni, and it's kadosh, and we can't do that. And here's really a chance to eat food that's kadosh. It's like so, wow. It's very, you know, usually truma, kohanim, in the base mikdash. Okay, let's learn a little chavis halavos.
Can I just ask you, where are they going to have a stool here?
Tilvazol, but they didn't sign the contract yet. But
they
it's 90%.
Yeah,
they're gonna. Here is the Zol and in the Sharet. What's it called? Gibbet Sharet. It's super hatslocha. That's gonna be their outlets. You know, it's a mysterious nefesh for the store shtickle too. He has to do a market survey because they're not allowed to take any other produce into the store. Because they don't want to. They're not gonna have like. They're not allowed to have a Heta Mechira section and a this.
It's
not allowed. Not allowed. You're
I don't
not
think
allowed.
There's going to be a Heta Mechira store in Ramat Beit Shemesh Aleph. I would doubt it. Or Bet. I would doubt it.
Yeah.
Maybe in Beit Shemesh. But I really
maybe in Beit Shemesh. The supermarkets in Beit Shemesh will have it.
But I don't imagine there'll be a purely Heta Mechira store.
Okay. Well, the Aleph stores, the stores in Merkaz Meschuyot will all be Eidah Haredes, or Reuben, it's all the same.
It's Efrati, isn't it?
Efrati, it's all from Arabs. It's all from Arabs.
I'm going to get the Rev my father's name.
Oh, yes, okay, we should start learning.
Efraim.
I didn't want, see, it's good I didn't take it till now, we weren't learning.
Chaim
Efraim
ben Nathan.
Chaim Efraim ben Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, for that, to have such a schus, you have to up the numbers of the people in this year.
That's right.
Okay, we finished with Chaim Efraim ben Nathan. Actually, we're embarking upon a part of the Chayvus Halvavus that it's fine. It's been recording all about Shkita. I don't know what, I can't tell you where it is because you're not using the same sefer. And it's really different words. You can't even follow along. It's slightly different words.
You can follow the English translation.
We're on Perek Gimel?
We're in Perek Gimel. I only have the page. We're past, I think. You know what? You have the sefer?
Yeah. I think we finished the
final
machines.
Yeah. Okay. 382, the last three lines. But it's really, it's different words. It's a little weird. This is really, we're embarking now, this is not boring. This is not, oh, I know that already. This is the Chayvus Halvavus' view of Hishtadlus, what a person can do, what he's supposed to do, why Hashem set up the world that way, and the whole relationship between Betochen and Hishtadlus, and where do you draw the line? And that's like, these are halachas, these are Hilchas Betochen. So he starts off, we learned this already, but we have to get back into it, so V'chasher nizbonein, if we examine, if we think about, al zikikos ha'odom, a person's need, legormim v'lesibos, that Hashem created the world, where he said before that there's two things. There's Hashem has to want it to happen, but Hashem created a system in this world of cause and effect. And we even said in the last year, I believe, that from the Chodesh Malvavos, it's mashma, it's not an illusion. It's not the way some people say that it's illusory, It's only illusory as a first cause. In other words, it looks like there's a law of nature that if you plant a seed and this, it'll grow. Or if you, right, or if you press on the button, the thing will work. So it's illusory, if I'm pronouncing the word right, I hope I am, as a first cause. But it's not illusory. There is a law of gravity. There is. It's not illusory. It's not like every time, you know, this. So really, there's no law of gravity. It's Hashem saying this should fall. Except we call it a law of gravity. No. There are forces in the universe, the physics, the world of physics. What's it called? We used to learn vectors. I used to learn in school with arrows up and down. And these things exist. Photomagnetism. All these things are forces in the universe. Hashem created a world of cause and effect. If you open your store, you're going to have customers and you're going to earn money. And guess what? If you don't open your store, you're not going to have customers and you're not going to have money. It's as simple as that. Hashem created a world of cause and effect. He will talk about why, and he will talk about that given the reason why, maybe there are some people that can be exempt from that, that they could get money even if they don't open their stores and they don't have customers. Hashem will send them the money somehow without cause and effect. We'll talk about those special people that could live like that. But in the normal world, Hashem created cause and effect. That's what he calls gormim v'sibos. We're not going to go so technical what's gormim or what's sibos, and I don't know which two words that translation uses. Al zekikas ha'adam la'gormim v'l'sibos. It's the last three lines. No, I'm talking about...
Yeah, I'm just trying to
find it. Chashen is bonein.
Necessary steps.
Okay. Kedei levatzeya in Yonov to fulfill what he wants to accomplish. What he wants to accomplish. Nimtzoyim berurim le'en kol. That's for sure Hashem created a world of cause and effect. There's no question about it. Ki azokuch l'mozon, let's say you're hungry and you need food. Let's say they even put the sandwich in front of you. So if you don't do your hishtadlus, if you don't pick up the food and put it in your mouth, you can starve to death. Okay? The food can be there, and you're going to starve to death. And guess what? Every time you chew and you swallow, that's also hishtadlus. Hashem's not going to sustain you if you don't do your hishtadlus. Now, if you're lucky, your hishtadlus is only to pick up your food, but you have to do these things, right? You have to put it in your mouth, you have to chew it, you have to swallow it. These are all things that you're doing. And if you don't, lo yamali asra avono, you could starve to death. With Sudas Shlomo HaMelech in front of you, you starve to death if you don't do your hishtadlus. If the Sudas HaMelech, Suda Shlomo HaMelech is in front of you on the table, your hishtadlus is very little. But you still have to stretch out your hand, pick up the food, and chew it and swallow it. V'kachatzame, if you're thirsty, be'ezek yikusa l'mayim. So he says, let's think logically. So everybody agrees you have to do hishtadlus. No one's going to sit by the table and say, Hashem's going to make the food fly into my mouth and put it down my throat. Everybody agrees. So let's say there's no food on the table. So everybody agrees you have to go to the refrigerator and get it. Let's say there's no food in the refrigerator. Everybody agrees you have to go to the store and buy it. Let's say you don't have money. Everybody agrees you have to get a job and earn money so that you can go to the store. It's the same as picking up the food and eating it, he says. There's no difference. Hashem created a world where you have to work to create. You have to do things. Hashem created a world of cause and effect. Things don't happen by themselves. They're not magic. So it's not that large a step, he says, from chewing, which everybody agrees you have to chew, and everybody agrees you have to do this, to getting a job and earning money. It's just another link that has to be there. If the food is not there, Hatshiyasasik b'tikuno, you have to grind, you have to knead the dough, you have to bake it, v'chol hadoma l'kach. And let's say you don't have the ingredients, you have to go to the store and buy it. Mitzvah l'knos, v'laskino. And let's say you don't have money to buy it, v'yosho kachem nedru lo hadomim shevem yikna also. It's all along the same lines, no difference. It's just as irrational to say that I don't have to work and earn money as it is to say I don't have to pick up the food and put it in my mouth and chew it. Hashem's going to sustain me. It's not true. The world doesn't work that way. It's just, you know, if you're zocher and if you're lucky and if Hashem wants, so you have less hishtadlus to do. There are less cause and effect things that you have to take advantage of. The food's already on the table. Somehow it got there. Don't ask me how, right? I mean, you have a tzaddik. He can sit by the table, look at the food, and maybe someone will come and feed him. He doesn't have to pick up the food. It can happen. But he's talking about normal life. Normal life, you have to pick up the food and chew it. Normal life, it's just a question of how many links in the chain. So you have to go to work. Im shiyaskir esatzmos, you have to work before Adam to get money. And if you can't work and have no skills, so you have to sell something you own to earn money. The food's not going to fly into your mouth. O yim karaf masha iyef shalo biladov, even if you don't want to part with it, you'll have to sell things that you own. Okay, why? Now he says, why? Since it's all illusory in terms of the first cause, and the bottom line is Hashem has to, there has to be a decision from Hashem, so that you're going to earn money, that you're going to have food. So why did Hashem do this? Why did Hashem create a world where he's not really there, where you don't see it? You need his decision anyway. You need it to be Ratzon Hashem that you should be sustained by food. So why couldn't it just be easy? Hashem wants you to be sustained by food. So, right? Did you ever see a cow looking through the want ads, looking for a job? No. Right? So why does a person have to look through the want ads? A cow doesn't look for an apartment. A cow doesn't have to look through the real estate section looking for a place to live. A cow doesn't have to worry where its next meal's coming from. Why did Hashem create such a world? The Hatam, he says, there's a reason. There's a rational reason why Hashem created such a world. The Hatam shemachmoso chiyav Hashem es ha'odom lihisasek besibus ha'parnosa. The Chavis Halvodis is almost, it's not a nice word to use, fixated. He's very fixated on Parnosa. Throughout the whole Shaar HaBitachon, that's really like, I think, the paradigm, that's really the most, like that's what's matrid a person the most. Whenever he talks about having Bitachon, he talks about it, he talks about Parnosa and health. He talks about, well, those are really the two major objects of our lives that we spend most of our lives, that's what we sweat over. Right? Okay, and children. Yitaka doesn't talk about children. He talks about health and money. Parnosa and health. These are the two things he constantly talks about. So he talks about Hishtadlus. Why did Hashem create a world of Hishtadlus? He sets it up in the framework of Parnosa. Why did Hashem say that you have to work, that you have to go through these links in the chain in order to have food, in order to have money, in order to have Parnosa? He says, Nechlek l'shnayim. There's a Rishon. He lived 100 years before Rashi. 100 years before Rashi. He says there's two reasons. He's giving you now the secrets of the universe. Everything's Hashem. So why did he make a world where there's cause and effect? Even if the powering, the empowering and the power behind the cause and effect, the machine, the spine, the motor is Hashem. So why did he create such a world? Why did he make it so hard for us? I'll add hard physically and hard spiritually. because we have to look beyond all the cause and effect and say there's a whole dimension here that it's up to Hashem, and if Hashem wants it, it'll happen, and if Hashem doesn't want it, it'll happen. You have to mamish involve yourself in cause and effect. You have to work and earn a paycheck, and then you have to like burst free of those shackles and say, I have this $400 because Hashem wants me to have it, not because my boss gave it to me, and not because my boss wants me to have it, and not because I worked for it. Not really. Hashem wants me to have it, and if Hashem wouldn't want me to have it, I wouldn't have it. And if Hashem, and that's why I have it. So you say, wait, so if Hashem wants me to have it, so why did I have to go to work for? Because Hashem wants you to go to work. And the Chazal Vavis is going to say two reasons now. But the kasha is not just a kasha, why we have to work so hard, like why does Hashem want us to sweat? What does he care if we take it easy like the cow? But why can't we just breathe and be sustained? What do you think bread is? It goes into the ground, it gets nutrients. I'm sure those I don't know science so well, but there's nutrients in the oxygen. There's there's plenty of nutrients floating around in the air. Photosynthesis, clays. I don't know whatever happens there with the wheat. And then so then you take the wheat and you gotta grind it and make bread out of it. Like why? And breathe. Oxygen, iodine, all the elements. Why can't they just come into your body? And I'm adding, there's a spiritual difficulty too. Hashem made it so hard. We're talking about one of the hardest things to have, because everything looks like it's happening without Hashem, quite frankly. And if, so he says. Number one, he gives two reasons. Number one, and he says, number one, he's going to say, okay, I'm adding what I just said. He doesn't talk about it from that perspective, from the perspective of that it's such a hard nisayon to develop bitachon if Hashem made a world with cause and effect. He just says, why did Hashem make a world we have to work so hard? His answer is that why, he really gives a very, very fundamental answer. He says, a person is brought down into this world to be Kone Olam Haba. So you're brought down in this world to make decisions. Decide if you're going to, Hashem gave a Torah, and are you going to listen to Hashem or you're not going to listen to Hashem? Are you going to steal or you're not going to steal? Are you going to cheat or you're not going to cheat? Are you going to work on Shabbos or you're not going to work on Shabbos? Are you going to talk Lashon Hara or you're not going to talk Lashon Hara? Are you going to spend your time in the morning davening and then go to work, or you're going to go to work without davening? Life is in the Sion. Hashem, if you would be a cow, so a cow could sit and learn a whole day, no problem. Cow has its grass, its food. Hashem set up a world where you have to, I'm going to learn it inside now. Hashem set up a world where you have all these things to do, because the conglomerate of all these things is going to decide whose side you're on. If you're with Hashem, if you're going to listen to Hashem, or you're not going to listen to Hashem. So you go to work. I say, okay, am I going to daven in the morning? No, I'm not going to daven. Am I going to talk Lashon Hara about my employer? Am I going to work and fulfill all the halachas in Choshen Mishpat, how an employer has to work? Or if you're an employee, am I going to fulfill all the halachas of an employee or an employer? Am I going to cheat? Am I going to steal? Am I going to talk Lashon Hara? Am I going to learn? Am I going to be Koveya Itam LaTorah? Am I going to give Tztaka? And all these things are part of the normal workday. And this is how Hashem determines, this is how you determine who you are and where you're holding in life. And if you're a servant of Hashem, or you're not a servant of Hashem. So you go to work, and Hashem says, you're not allowed to cheat. You have to work faithfully for your boss. You have to do a good job. You know, and then you go through the day, and there's tens of nisyonos. You don't realize it, maybe. There are tens of nisyonos every day. How we do, how we act, how we live. So that's his first answer. That Hashem created a world of cause and effect in order to test us. That's life. Life is not to sit like a cow on the grass and munch the grass and you know, just learn the whole day, so to speak, right? Life is to determine who you are, what you are. Were you holding in serving Hashem? Are you an Eved Hashem, or are you a rebel against Hashem? So, you're out there in the world, and you have to fight and struggle, and everything's hard, and it doesn't work, and you have nisyonos, and that's life. Life is nisyonos. Sil Sesharim starts off saying, life is full of nisyonos. Everywhere you turn is nisyonos. So that's the Chavis Halavos' first test. It's a tremendous teretz. He says the reason Hashem made a world of cause and effect is because it's within that world that we have our nisyonos. He gave us a Torah. He says, close your store Shabbos. You know, we don't think it's hard, but very hard. Close your store Shabbos. He tells the farmer, don't plant kelayim. Don't work on Shemitah. Tremendous nisyon. What do you mean, don't work on Shemitah? What am I supposed to do? Close up Shabbos? And people would say, and people still say, well, I'm going to close my store on Shabbos. What's going to happen? 1/7 of my income? I should just do without? Yeah, so all these things are all part of the Torah, part of the world, and then that's why there's cause and effect, so that you should have to work in the, you should have to be part of the world, he's saying. Because look at the Torah. Open a chumash, and right? I think if stucco, lend money, be nice, do favors for people, be machnes orchim. Everything in the Torah is because you're part of the world. If Hashem just made everything happen, and we would breathe and be sustained, and we wouldn't get sick, and there wouldn't be tzaras in the world, and people wouldn't struggle, so that Hashem is testing our mettle. And the conglomerate of our lives are the nisyonos we have to go through to determine our level of being an Eved Hashem, our level of spirituality, our level of connecting to Hashem. Tremendous teretz. That's why this hishtadlus. That's why this cause and effect. So that you are in the world and you're having nisyonos and Hashem seeing if you're doing the mitzvahs or not. Because that's the Torah that he gave. You can philosophize why he gave such a Torah. He gave such a Torah because of the same reason, because he didn't want to create a world, this is already, he doesn't talk about, but this is the background, that he wants you to earn your station in Olam Haba. He doesn't want no freebies. Hashem didn't create a world of freebies. That's easy, freebies. He wants you to earn. And it's that's also a philosophical idea, that if you get a freebie, it's embarrassing. It's called, right? Everybody knows that idea. It's called Nahamu de Kisufa in the Svarim. If you get a freebie, your soul is not at peace. Your soul doesn't feel good for all eternity if you got a freebie. It's embarrassing. It's Hashem, a tremendous chesed that Hashem did, is he put a soul into the world and he said, I'm going to create a situation where you're going to earn it. Then if you earned it, you're like, wow, it's mine, I earned it. So part of that system is all the hishtadlius in the world. Think of it. Everything that we have to do and struggle, it's all a test, if we're going to follow the laws of the Torah or not. I'm adding, because the Bovis doesn't say this, but I'm hearing, the biggest test of all is, of course, to see through all the hishtadlius and to have bitachon. That's the greatest test of all. That's the biggest nisayon of all, to be able to feel You know, you're not going to go crazy. You're not going to get depressed. You're not going to feel, oh, if only I would have done that, then that shidduch would have worked out. If only I would have done that, I would have had that job. Or you get overly anxious. Chavis Albava says the main benefit of bitachon is that you're calm and serene and you're not anxious and you're not nervous. The best therapy in the world is bitachon. That's the biggest nisayon. Because since Hashem created a world of... That's like the overriding nisayon. He solves all these minor nisayonos, like Shabbos, you know, Shabbos and stealing and Lashon Hara. So you have this one huge nisayon. Are you going to have bitachon? Are you going to think that you earned that money and that if you don't give miser, you'll have more money? If you don't get stuck, you'll have more money. Or you're going to have bitachon. You're going to say, Hashem wants me to get stuck. I'm not going to be missing any money. That guy opened up a store next to you, and you go crazy. And you say, no, if Hashem wants me to have parnasa, I'll have parnasa. And Hashem has enough money to give him parnasa too. You don't go crazy. I always add with that example that sometimes Al Pidin, he's not allowed to open the store. Then it's like someone stealing from you. If someone steals from you, you're allowed to, you still shouldn't go crazy, the Chavis Albava says. But you can take them to Beis Din and get your money back. You know, you don't have to let people steal from you. Sometimes opening another store is like stealing from you. But that's already, we're getting into details. It's not the point. The point is that the overriding nisayon is bitachon itself. So Chayes Havala says that the reason Hashem created such a world is because that's the context in which the whole Torah was said. Shabbos and Yom Tov, the whole thing. And I'm adding to that, you have the overriding thing. You have the overriding thing.
Can I just ask a question then?
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? Yeah, we're finished. Yeah.
Can you look back and regret? You said something there about mistakes, like, you know, you can think back as if I had done this or if I had done that. So is there such a point, like,
most
can
of
you
the
automatically make no mistakes because Hashem is sort of...
Well, most of the... That's bitachon. You have to say, you know, if I would have been a little more on the ball, we would have done that shidduch. And now I hear the boy got engaged to someone else.
Right. So is there such a point?
No. So you're supposed to pull out your shara, your chavis halbavos, shara bitachon, and say, no, if Hashem would have wanted this shidduch, it would have happened. I have nothing but to feel bad about.
So are you all saying that you can't make mistakes?
You can make mistakes, but you can't be the cause of what happened. You can make mistakes, but you weren't the cause of what happened. The Chavis Halvavus, if someone steals, the truth is, if someone steals from you, the Chavis Halvavus doesn't want you to go crazy either. You could try to get your money back. You could take him to Beis Din. But Chavis Halvavus wants you to think, you're not going to get depressed and like lose yourself and be crazy. You're going to say, Hashem wanted it to happen. If Hashem didn't want it to happen, it wouldn't have happened. That's bitachon. That's part of bitachon. That's which is serenity. That's how he defines, he almost defines bitachon that way. Serenity. Hashem, if Hashem didn't want it to happen, it wouldn't have happened. And Hashem wanted it to happen, that's why it happened. Simple as that. Yep, bang it into your head. It doesn't, but you have to be careful. You can't cross the street against the red light. That's what we're learning now. Hashem created a world with his cause and effect. If you cross the street against the red light and it's a busy intersection, that person's going to end up in the hospital. Okay.